Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, it's your favourite podcast. Back again, come on in and grab a pew. We are here to gather once again for another Confessions podcast. We are your friends at Greatest Hits Radio, aren't we, Holly?
Absolutely, yes.
Aren't we, Matthew?
Yes, that is true, yep.
And aren't we, Sister Susie?
Of course.
We're all here and gathered and assembled. Brother Matt, ready as ever to be the voice of the gutter who forgives absolutely everyone. Even if the reasons make no sense.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, usually they make no sense.
Make no sense at all. But then it is my feeling that don't we all need forgiveness in a way? So for that reason, I choose to forgive.
Okay, very good. So I see we're carrying on in the manner which you've established over the years.
Yeah.
So on with the service. Coming up, the pun Matt believes deserved a pay rise.
And having gone into Finland, it's just a pity they weren't able to finish what they started.
Stop.
Oh, finish what they started. I'm delighted with that, aren't I?
You were very
finish
happy.
Obviously sounds exactly the same as finish, so, you know.
So actually not even a pun.
So no, even better pun. Even better pun. Wow. Breaking all the rules.
Certainly. About as desperate as it's going to get. We'll have some confessions from the gutter, of course. We'll make another trip to the parish notice board. Some bank holiday antics in the confession from the crypt. And, of course, you get to hear this week's confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including another visit to St Custard's for Nigel's stinky story, Too Many Fish in the Sea, Sergeant Wilson's chilly tale, We Didn't Start the Fire, Eva's confession, Straight Back Down to Earth. But first, if you're eating, you may want to pause while we have to bring you this. Septic Sam's ploppy run confession. It's as bad as you think it's about to be. Old black water, keep on walking.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Now, before we proceed with today's confession, just a warning. It is a bit icky.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
So I'm giving it a 12, and also if you're eating, probably an 18.
This is good. Mm-hmm. Yes, I like.
So just make it absolutely clear.
Uh-huh.
Yes?
Yeah.
Everyone's been warned appropriately. And it comes from Septic Sam. That's how it's signed.
Tells you everything.
It does, actually. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Holly or Susie. It's Sister Holly today. My confession goes back to 2019 when I had gainful employment working in transport for a plant hire company. Our speciality was getting large pieces of equipment or massive trailers into or out of tight spaces using smaller 4x4 vehicles that would be otherwise inaccessible for an articulated HGV. On the day in question, a Friday, I had been doing what were referred to in the company as ploppy runs. Basically, I was moving... I was moving toilet trailers off building sites.
Yeah.
And the day had passed completely uneventfully until the final job, if you want. I had been tasked to remove a large multi-cubicle toilet trailer from an underground car park beneath a city centre building site where a large new budget fashion shop had been built. I arrived at 3:30 p.m. It was right in the city centre, which had made locating the entrance to the loading bay and staff car park bad enough, but I had the site foreman welcome me with, "Hurry up, chap, we closed the site at 4 o'clock. I don't know if he spoke like that, but that's what he said. I picked my way down the darkened access ramps. On finding the trailer, a large, ungainly thing with 6 doors along each side, allowing for 12 large, hairy builders to carry out their daily ablutions at any one time, I discovered that one of its 4 tyres was flat. I connected my portable pump to the tyre and went about disconnecting the trailer's electricity and mains water supplies. I was pleased to see that it was what we called a septic tanked trailer, which meant that I didn't have to don my full hazmat suit to disconnect the sewage line. In these cases, the black water tank was always pumped out by another company before we arrived to take the trailers away, so I didn't run the risk of getting anything on myself.
Okay.
Scene is set.
I think it is, isn't it?
Hold your breath. Yes, good idea. By the time I'd done all of this, the tyre had inflated to a usable pressure and I got backed up and hooked up. It was now almost 4 p.m. and I was the only vehicle left on site as I picked my way carefully out of the darkened underground abyss. As I approached the exit, the foreman was standing, waiting, tapping his watch like Alex Ferguson. As that's a football reference,
yeah,
by the way.
Okay. Yeah,
as
yeah,
I climbed the final ramp, I started to think that the trailer did feel heavy and thought that the handbrake maybe had come on, or perhaps the tyre had gone flat again. This would also give the impression of a heavy trailer. I exited the car park and stopped to check the handbrake and tyre on the trailer. Strange, the handbrake is in the off position. The tyre is still fully inflated. So why did the trailer feel so heavy? And it was at this point that it hit me fairly obviously, largely helped by the smell, that hit me at the same time. The septic tank had not been emptied. To make matters worse, the access cover to the tank was missing. So I was able to peep inside and confirm that it was indeed almost full to the brim. Normally in this situation, we would refuse to collect the trailer. So I turned to look at the site entrance, the same entrance that was now covered with a large locked roller shutter with no one to be seen. Father Simon, I had no choice but to carry on and return the trailer to the depot as planned. Only a relatively short distance of 10 miles or so. But the first couple of miles did involve going through some of the main thoroughfares of one of Britain's largest cities. And it was Friday. And the streets are jammed with traffic and the pavement is full of people happily spending a merry glass of wine or something on their way home. Some were even enjoying the late afternoon sun and sipping coffee at tables on the pavement outside the many little hostels that seemed to lie in the city streets. As I negotiated the stop-start traffic, the black water started to slosh in its tank. As I braked and then accelerated over a short distance, the inevitable happened. I have taken a lot out of this, by the way. Some people shouted and waved as I drove past. Others held noses or tried to cover their faces with loose clothing. There were people with panicked looks on their faces. My windows were up, my air conditioning was on full blast, and all was well. I stared stoically ahead, drove on, eventually reaching the storage yard where I unhooked the trailer and made my way home. I did notice that the tank was a lot less full now, so that was nice. I therefore need to ask forgiveness from the thousands of Friday afternoon commuters who, instead of having a pleasant walk through the spring sunshine, were subjected to the onslaught of the senses. But most importantly, I ask for forgiveness from my daughter, who phoned me later that evening to say that while she had been waiting for a bus a good mile away from the incident, a river of what she described as fetid drain water had flowed along the gutter, actually causing the lady standing in the queue next to her to be physically sick in the bin.
Wow!
Imagine what I've taken out.
Yes.
Father Simon, forgiveness, please. Oh, and the shiny new Confessions podcast, which is a joy to have back in the cab, yes, by the way. I still work in transport, and it's good having you there for company as the day winds down. Yours, Septic Sam, brackets, not my real name. Oh, really? You surprised me. Well, he was committed to the job, as it were.
Uh-huh.
And he was determined to make sure that he did everything that he was supposed to do. It just, I don't think it was his fault, Sister Holly, really.
I get that he was trying to do his job. I understand that. But I think, actually, it would have been much, much better if he had just left the loos there, because it ruined everyone's afternoon. That poor woman threw up in a bin because of you and your weird toilets on the back of your van. And so for that reason, I mean, he just ruined thousands of people's afternoon.
Did, yes.
And I just, no, not forgiving at all for that one.
They wouldn't do that in Surrey.
They wouldn't do that in Surrey.
Very, very distasteful. However, an alternative viewpoint now.
Yes, here it comes. I'm going to forgive because he didn't do anything wrong, did he? I mean, he brought there. He didn't know that the loos hadn't been emptied. He thought they had been, and by the time he realised they hadn't been emptied, the site was closed down. So what was he supposed to leave the loos in the middle of town, in the middle of summer? No. He had to take them with him and get them out of the way. And imagine how much you must have taken out of that confession. Goodness me. Pretty stomach turning anyway. Not a good day to be driving a convertible car through that part of town, I'm going to say. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I actually did see a couple of messages on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Suggesting that I read out the unexpurgated version on this podcast.
Okay.
And I...
How much worse was it?
Very.
It was a lot worse.
Oh, dear.
There were many, many solids.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm very happy with less is more.
Yes, me too.
I love the fact that solids is a perfectly normal word, but yes, we've all got something in our head right now, haven't we?
In this particular case. But nice to have Sister Holly back for that particular episode, and I'm sure you were thrilled to have that particular one.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, over to the... By the way, if you've got a similar story, keep it to yourself, because the chances of us doing another, you know, poo in the gutter type confession, very, very... In fact, they're infinitesimally small. Don't bother. Over to the Parish Notice Board to see what's been happening this week. If you want to contribute, all you need to do is to send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
But we are going to start off, as ever, with a roundup of the latest reviews on iTunes and... I cannot emphasise enough that the only ones that get read out are the five-star reviews.
Yes.
So Mrs. Harry says, 5 stars. Best podcast ever is back. This is hands down the best and funniest podcast in the galaxy. Not sure what we're up against in Saturn and Mars. Are they doing many podcasts? Well, it turns out we're better than them. So many thanks, Mrs. Harry. Kent Gaz says, 5 stars, a great way to end the week. Welcome back, gang, the funniest podcast on the air. And Sam C. Ellis says, 5 stars, easiest 5-star review on iTunes ever. Great to have this podcast back, but isn't it about time Matt had joint top billing? Simon Mayo's and Matt Williams's confessions. It wouldn't be the same podcast without Matt, who always speaks.
Okay, we've just lost his microphone at that point.
Keep them coming, team, because new episodes are one of the highlights of the week. Well, Sam, I should say at the start, I don't know Sam. But what I do know about Sam is that they have phenomenal taste and judgment. So, yes.
It's not very snappy, though, is it?
Yeah.
No, not really. Yeah. I'm just seeing it does seem to have come from your printer at home.
Yes. Yeah. That will be true. And of course, 5 stars we review. If you review us with 5 stars, that's the only way of getting your review read out on this podcast.
So just to be clear, 5 stars equals you might get read out.
Correct.
4 stars with a hint of disappointment, no chance at all.
Not a hope. And obviously 5 stars saying that I deserve more top billing. Definitely gets read out.
If you have already followed or subscribed or both, same thing, reviewed the podcast, you can still do some more. Easter is the perfect opportunity to do this. Why not get your friends and loved ones and neighbours? You could knock on their door. Happy Easter. Subscribe to this podcast.
Yep.
Share the podcast with someone who needs a laugh in their life. Is there someone in your life who's a bit po-faced?
Yes.
In which case,
smile.
Tell them about this, because it always helps when you say, all right, cheer up, love.
Yes, that always works.
I have an email here from Matt Cherry. Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly, and everyone else. Yes. The rest of the extensive team. Last week's slide rule chat reminded me of my time studying engineering at Warwick University 20 years ago. What a fine institution that is.
Oh.
If your calculator failed during an exam, then they would give you a slide rule and log tables to use. Thank you very much indeed. See, I wasn't completely stupid.
No.
Hence the slightly strange situation where all engineering students would only take one pen into exams. They provided spares of those, but 2 calculators just in case of a flat battery. Also, do I get a podcast dedicated if I download it whilst I'm on holiday in San Francisco next month, rather than back home in Stockport? Really enjoying having the podcast back. Thank you very much. Well, I mean, it's the same bit of kit, isn't it? It's the same bit of technology.
Do they all count to the figures if they get downloaded in San Francisco?
San Francisco listeners.
That's my point.
It's a digital thing, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, good. Well, I have no idea.
Susie will know about this.
Yes, Susie. Go on.
I'll look into it.
Susie doesn't know either. There we go. Brilliant. Great.
Muttley Joe says, Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly and Holy Collective. I was wondering what the maximum rating is for the Confessions podcast. Having realised that my confession that I sent in last year will not be broadcast, I'm still hoping it'll make it to the podcast bit of the stardom galaxy. Listening every week to the brilliant show, I'm getting mixed vibes about whether my potential 12A or mild 15 might make the cut. I love listening to all the confessions, but sincerely hope mine might make the cut eventually. Arrogantly of me, I didn't realise that you titled them, as I'd called mine... Don't forget your toothbrush.
Ah.
Here's hoping. I automatically know what it was. I automatically know why it was not included.
Can you, I mean, hints?
Yes.
Toothbrush down the tube.
Toothbrush.
Down the loo, I'm going to say.
Toothbrush down the loo or...
Or they've done something to it.
They've done something to
they've
themselves
done something to
with the toothbrush.
Oh, my.
And it's not their toothbrush. It's someone else's toothbrush.
Yeah, but it is their backside.
Right, okay. We already have it. I didn't need that. Oh, my goodness.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, painting pictures. Yes, no, I know. We've got it now.
Never seen a toothbrush-themed confession that has been broadcastable.
No.
A mild 15 sounds a bit harsh. Yeah, it's either a bit heavy.
It's either a 15 or it's not a 15. It's the message of a mild 15.
Yeah.
Particularly if it is what I think it is. Mm. Anyway, thanks for everything that you've been sending us. Send all the correspondence to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Quick few mentions from me for Emma Duncan, Sal, Claire Joyner, Gareth James, who were among those who tweeted the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, a fistful of hummus. Or, for Holly, hummus. Keep listening through to the end of this particular podcast to pick up this week's secret code phrase. I only say that because that's how Holly says it.
Is it? Do you not call it hummus?
It's hummus.
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 Have you ever met anyone else who says...
Well, I've always said it like that. My mum always says it like that. And then I noticed that no one else said it like that. Uh-huh. And then when I met my boyfriend... He also says hummus.
Wow.
So
you were made for each other. Or he was just copying you and thought, if I say that one...
Better impress Holly. She seems to have this thing about hummus. Better go along with it.
Yeah.
I know everyone else will think I'm weird, but if Holly thinks it's good, that's a very, very good thing. Anyway, well, let's find out. If there are other people who also say it like Holly, then get in touch.
Just absolutely. Just there will be. Yeah,
there will. But there will be many, many members of the aristocracy who say it in exactly the same way. just get in touch. Now, on to a few of the not-for-broadcast confessions, although we have sort of veered into that territory a little bit already. First of all, bus driver Jerry. It was clear that you were very busy, and it wasn't your idea, but using an almost empty cola bottle to relieve yourself and not immediately disposing of it in the correct manner would never be spoken about at tea time. You left said bottle, which surprisingly still looked like cola. Really? I think you need to see a doctor. On the luggage rack for a poor, unsuspecting passenger to claim on his way out.
Luggage rack?
Who, after taking... A swig sprayed it over the back of a little old lady waiting to board the bus.
The bus? So hang on, is he doing this on the bus? So he's put it on the luggage rack of the bus?
So he's weed in a bottle. Somehow it still looks like Coke.
I mean, it still had some Coke
Okay, so it had some Coke in there.
Yeah. Okay, we might just be wandering around the main, but he's doing this on the bus.
Yes,
then
put it on the rack. And then sprayed it over an old woman.
I mean, we've all had a drink, but, you know.
Not like that we have.
No, not like that. Goodness me. Dear, oh dear.
No rewards for bus driver Jerry.
None. He's a bus driver. Now I'm... Right, okay, I see. Right, I didn't realise he was the driver. I thought he was a passenger.
Fair enough.
It's absolutely fine, Jerry.
Have a Waz anywhere you like, mate. It's your bus. Okay, also, Richard, you are correct. Seagulls are annoying. Especially when you live by the sea and they are forever trying to steal your lunch. But it's not okay that your brother-in-law played a big part in a seagull versus car road traffic accident.
Oh dear.
And then he disposed of the remains in a council wheelie bin to be discovered in a few days by some unsuspecting refuge collectors. On the subject of birds, we are also not going to be repeating the confession from a long, long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Which, as I recall... involved some stolen sodium from a chemistry lab put into some bread that was fed to a very annoying seagull.
Tut, tut.
Because we know what happens when sodium
meets a bird
with water.
With water. Sodium meets a bird with water. Right, so we know what happens when sodium
into the bread.
The
bird eats the bread. The bread goes into the bird's stomach, which has fluid.
Oh, right, I see.
Sodium meets fluid.
Equals bang. Okay, boom. Right. Yeah.
I was thinking, I won't have to spell this one out.
Are you okay, Matt?
Oh, he's a bus driver. Oh, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah, oh, dear. Yeah.
2Na plus H2O equals boom.
Title of the new book there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Actually, there was a line in the H opera, which was 2Na plus 2H2O.
Wow, bit of singing
that was
as well.
That's really
did
good.
Did you like that?
I did like that.
Would your boyfriend like that?
He would have loved that. Like yes, that. He would.
Lord Humus of Humustown. So anyway, let's get back to the confessions that actually did make the cut with Nigel's tale, Too Many Fish in the Sea.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Today's confession comes from Nigel. Dear Father Simon and his disciples, Mike, and this is not like yesterday, okay?
So you don't, okay, we're safe.
It's not like you have to hold your nose or anything. My confession is from the mid to late 60s, where you'll find us all secret 60s fans listening to Ken Bruce. I was in my final year at St. Custard's Junior School. There was a boy in our class who was the school bully, and we'll call him Grabber. He was also quite a bit bigger than most of us, so we always tried to keep out of his way and his mates, as crossing them often led to a good seeing to on your way home.
Okay.
That's a good expression.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a very bad practice, obviously. From what I knew, Grabber's father worked in the harbour, something to do with unloading fish from trawlers and packing it up for sale, I think. For whatever reason, it appears Grabber would go down to the harbour on his way to school. Grabber would then come to school and would produce from his pockets or his bag a fish or two. Probably the scraps that were not saleable.
Oh,
you
right.
know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of tricks that he used to perform with the fish. With the girls, he would push one in their face and get them to scream. For the boys, he would sneak up on them, pull back their collar of the shirt and drop one down their back.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
From memory, a cold and wet herring down your back in the middle of winter with the wind blowing off the North Sea, having to undo your clothing to remove the fish, was most unpleasant, Father Simon, as I'm sure you can imagine. I often walked to school with a girl from next door, from where I used to live, by the name of Babs. One day she was the victim of the fish-in-the-face trick in the playground, and she screamed like a banshee and drew attention of a teacher. Now, boys wouldn't usually say anything for fear of the physical consequences from Grabber, and I must admit, I wanted revenge for my friend Babs, but I had no idea what to do. But this was obviously not the first time that a girl had told the teacher about what Grabber had done. Grabber was verbally quite nasty towards Babs afterwards, and word got around that Grabber had been told that if he carried on doing this, he would be expelled.
Oh.
We could only hope. I hadn't particularly thought of finding a way to get revenge, but then an opportunity came to mind one evening when I was round at my gran's. I went around to my grandma's, who lived just up the road, to listen to an England match on the radio, not live on television in those days. Mm. No one else in my family was interested in football. Okay. Yes, very good.
Yeah.
It's an England match, so it's kind of,
yeah.
Gran would cook my tea, and that evening she had kippers and I had fish fingers, if memory serves me right, though it is a long time ago. After the match, I was setting off for home when she said, "Could you put the rubbish in the bin as you go?" And I said, "Of course," and I left. And this is where the idea hit me. I kept the bag with the kippers and I took them home and I put them in my school bag. The following day I got to school but still wasn't sure what I was going to do. I went to the classroom straight away and my first thought was to put the kippers, which are heads and skeletons by and large, actually it's quite a pongy confession again, in Grabber's desk and somehow draw it to the teacher's attention. And then at the last minute I decided to put them in the teacher's desk where she disappointingly called Miss Smith kept the register. I went back outside, did the usual stuff, until break went. So Miss Smith sat down. I think I was shaking with fear at this time. She opened her desk and let out a little yelp, followed by, "Grabber! Come here!" Grabber got up and walked to the desk. Everyone else was wondering what was going on. Miss Smith said, "Grabber, what is this?" He said, "Kippers." This was probably very funny at the time. Stating the obvious, but I was scared I'd be found out by either Grabber or Miss Smith. But Miss Smith obviously didn't believe his pathetic pleading of innocence and sent him to stand outside. Then she went to get the head teacher, who looked inside her desk. We didn't see Grabber again for about a week.
Ooh.
He got suspended, not expelled, and this seemed to us unnecessarily lenient and possibly the beginning of the end for Western civilization. You can't go light on people like this, Father Simon. or rapid moral decline will follow. You mark my words. Anyway, thankfully, he must have been read the riot act because he never brought fish into school ever again, although he did, I'm afraid, carry on being a bully.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever wondered who set him up. Maybe he thought it was Miss Smith. So it is she I need forgiveness from. I haven't told a soul before now, but as both of us are now pensioners and I don't live in this particular town...
Grabber's not tracking you down.
I think I might be safe from any retribution. Well, I mean, let's hope so. And who knows? Maybe Grabber has seen the error of his ways and he's now a pillar of the community. Who knows? Nigel needs forgiveness. Does he get it from Sister Susie?
Well, Nigel, I do you know what? I think fair play to you. I would hate to have a fish in the face or a fish down the back. I got a shudder down the back of my shoulders when you said that. However, I do think Miss Smith did jump to conclusions there, thinking it was Grabber, because if she'd looked into it a bit more, she would have realised that these were cooked and eaten as opposed to the fresh fish that I'm guessing brought in. So maybe she just didn't do her detective work. However, he could have been expelled. And even though he was a bully, I don't know if I can let that slide. So on this occasion, Nigel, I'm not going to forgive you.
You got a boy suspended, Brother Matthew.
Yeah, what goes around comes around, Grabber. I mean, obviously, this wasn't your fault at the time, but it probably would have been in the future. That's my take, in a sort of Minority Report
future
way.
Future crime.
Yes. That was probably coming, wasn't it? And you know, I mean, obviously, yes, you're right. Mrs. Smith should have worked out that a kipper couldn't have come from the sea because it should have been cooked and done before. So that all makes sense. And I love the fact that he's still fearing that a pensioner's going to turn up at his door and give him a sing to. So, for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
I think that was very clear.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't understand that.
No, that didn't make any sense, did it?
No.
But, you know, that's what life's like.
It did bring one of Matt's favourite verdicts of the week.
And Tim from Sutton Coalfield says, easy to forgive this one. Grabber needed putting in his place. Oh, he could have come off a lot worse.
OK, we have to leave it there.
Yeah.
But Matt likes that Love one for them. Sure. Very good. Still to come on this here Confessions podcast, a case of a missing person in the Confession from the Crypt. We're crossing borders again with Sergeant Wilson's confession. We didn't start the fire. But not before Eva's confession, straight back down to earth.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Eva. Thank you, Eva, possibly Ava. But as I've made it up, I'm going to say it's Ava.
There of course,
we go.
Yeah.
Father Simon, I have been deliberating on sending you a confession for some time now, but have decided to bite the bullet, so to speak. Picture this. Two little girls, twins, raised as God-fearing children to a saintly mother who was auditioning for the local church choir. Every week, we were dragged to church, a place full of unusual smells, fuggy smoke, and people dressed to the nines. The priests looked amazing with their flowing robes and all that, swanning about. I believe that's an ecclesiastical term for doing a service.
Uh-huh.
On the big day, we were ceremoniously marched up the stairs to an area where the choir and the organist were located. The balcony area, essentially. The organist began to play, and then, unfortunately, the choir began to sing. We were then subjected to all kinds of screeching from some dubious singers, all trying to out-sing each other. You know what that's like.
Yeah.
My mother could sing in tune, but was clearly overdoing it a bit, Father Simon, to say the least. She wanted to make a good impression, you see. And the faces they pulled as they went for the high notes. Father Simon, they looked like they were in agony, like they were massively constipated. I mean, come on, guys, what happened to harmony? A broader question, I feel, for another day. What did ever happen to harmony? Being twins, we were dressed identically, like a couple of bookends, and had to sport suitable headwear as a mark of respect for being in church. Mother made us wear Matt's favourite soft blue berets.
Oh, lovely.
With angelic white dresses and sweet little ankle socks. Yuck, says Eva. Sometimes a beret looks like a decent choice. Ben Volpierre Piero, for example, from Curiosity Killed the Cat. He looked okay. Benny Hill, Frank Spencer, Che Guevara. Also, Beyoncé and Rihanna looked cool. You see what I'm saying? However, we were instructed in no uncertain terms to kneel down, be quiet, and not move an inch. This was almost impossible for any normal 3- or 4-year-old to do. We had stayed quiet and put our fingers in our ears on numerous occasions to block out the cacophony that was enveloping us, led by our mother. But enough was enough. Now we felt it was payback time. Whilst we found it interesting seeing all the congregation below us, trying to work out who some of these people were, we thought it would be fun to play a discreet game that we had just invented to alleviate the boredom, and a perfect opportunity presented itself. I had already discovered that picking fluff off my beret was easy to do, so nudged my twin sister when a suitable target was identified. So we got all our ammo and timed it to perfection. There was this bald, sweaty man who walked up the central aisle to communion, and we dropped our fluffy bombs on his shiny, sweaty head.
Oh, yeah.
Father Sam, you know about older women having what's known as a purple rinse. Well, I think the blue fluff look was far better on this guy. He was so effective because he was completely unaware that he looked ridiculous, and my sister and I, being small and kneeling down, were virtually invisible to anyone below. Whatever, we ended up with a holy bald man lightly dusted with purple fluff. Not off, stay bright. My mother never knew what heinous crime we committed and unsurprisingly did not secure a place in the much-coveted choir. Simon and lovely team, I'm asking for forgiveness. Amen, says Eva, but not her real name. There is an age under which, you know, you can pretty much get away with anything, I think. Young twins, 3 or 4 years old, Susie, I think even you, hard and stone-hearted as you can be, are going to forgive in this case.
Oh, I don't know, Eva. Now, I did think, with the mention of the beret, might mean that Matt might not forgive. So
he forgets everything.
He forgives everything. Yes, but I do think that it was very funny. But I feel like you were a little bit mean. I don't think it was very. You weren't very nice to the bald, sweaty man. Like, maybe it's not his fault he was bald. It's not his fault he was sweaty. And I don't know if you were really sorry about it. So as much as there was no harm done, and it was just a bit of fun, I'm not going to forgive.
Well. That seems a little harsh, but we did get a laugh out of a purple-rinsed guy with fluffy bombs on his head. Brother Matthew.
I mean, as Susie points out, normally I've got a zero tolerance when it comes to berets. Yeah. However, we've all been bored in church. We've all been kids bored in church.
Games to play.
Absolutely. And I can't think of a better target than a bald, sweaty man with you, because it's going to stick, isn't it? Because otherwise it'll go bounce off a hat, probably bounce off a head. So bald, sweaty man, best place for fluff. And I'm definitely going to forgive just for the reference to Alan Fluff Freeman, which you managed to sneak in there. Fabulous stuff. Nice. Good work. And yes, definitely forgiven.
How many fluffy balls could you get from a beret? I mean, I'm just wondering how many. Maybe they pretty much hacked it to death.
I shan't think there would be much left of that beret. No.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So here we go with tonight's unusual confession, which comes from Sergeant Wilson.
Oh.
Certainly taking us into uncharted territory. Dear Father Simon and the collective few, or whoever has turned up this week, is it Susie, Katie or Holly? Well, it's always
We've all turned up.
They're all completely committed to the show.
Of course.
On hearing Dora the Explorer's confession about crossing a border and ending up in Luxembourg without knowing about it, I was feeling quite unconcerned because we've all strolled across various borders in the EU, because there aren't any. However, there are some borders, Father Simon, you should never stroll across. Part of our job in the 80s, as fine upstanding members of Her Majesty's Army, was to protect the northern flank of NATO from the dastardly Russians, who, as it's turned out, are just as dastardly as we always thought. So we're already moving into international affairs.
Wow.
So for 3 months every winter, we would deploy to Norway and train in the art of Arctic warfare.
Ooh, wow.
2 months in southern Norway, and then the last month deep in the Arctic Circle, close to the Russian border. A beautiful part of the world, especially in winter, with all the snow and endless displays of the northern lights. It was while we were up north that we came close to initiating World War III. And that is the subject which has not been reffed particularly often on this particular feature.
No.
Okay.
Well, we're all out training in 2 snow vehicles and fully armed to the teeth and, for all intents and purposes, ready for war. Somehow, in a whiteout, we got disorientated and didn't agree with what the map said. It wasn't Ordnance Survey, obviously. But I insisted that we carried on the bearing that we had until I felt it was safe to stop or too dangerous to carry on, or we saw something that matched up. After a while, the snow and the cloud cleared a little, and we saw a building. Great, I thought. Once I locate the building on the map, we'll be fine. It was then pointed out to me that it looked like some kind of shop, and people were coming out to see who we were. Some were quite excited for whatever reason, and we couldn't make out why. Then, from out of the mist, came this vision of strangely dressed people being towed by large deer bearing gifts like deerskin rugs and coats and funny hats to keep your ears warm. They also had the look of people used to hard lives. And then we saw the writing on the shop. It wasn't Norwegian, which we'd recognize. It was something else. These people selling their furs were Laplanders. The shop, a trading post, was Finnish. We had strolled into Finland. We were in the part called the Finnish Corridor, which sticks out into Norway. We'd actually invaded a sovereign country.
Right.
Now, the reason everyone got excited was because if Russia found out, then they might invade because they allowed the British Army to train there. Now, of course, it's in NATO and the EU, but certainly not back in the 80s, just for reference.
Yes.
I decided the best course of action was to wave sweetly at everyone, mouth, "We're British," and asked my driver to turn round in a controlled manner, covering up the previous panic rising in me as the locals got more and more excited. Off we went, back into the cloud and snow, never to speak of it again. Until now, Father Simon, and I don't seek forgiveness from my men. There were 8 of us leading the invasion. 5 didn't have a clue what was going on, and the 3 of us in my wagon were too embarrassed to talk about it. No, I need to get forgiveness from the Laplanders, who we met, and they thought they were in trouble for harbouring British soldiers, and also the traders, who clearly thought we'd buy all their wares, and we didn't buy a thing. No one speaks about this incident, even when we're at a reunion and the water has flowed. Naturally, my wife of 43 years knows. She just thinks Ivan should have just laughed at us and sent us home. Kind regards from Sergeant Wilson.
Wow.
Well, it was certainly unusual. No one has mentioned about starting World War III or invading another country, because actually they did. They're fully armed in snow vehicles and they're into a sovereign country. What's going on? Anyway, Sister Susie will pronounce with her producer guidelines in front of her.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Sergeant Wilson, you know, I thought you were very typically British there and very polite in your retreat.
Sorry, wrong country.
If I walk backwards slowly enough, maybe they won't realise I'm here. And it must have been very confusing. However, as you stated, you nearly caused World War III, and for that fact alone, I'm afraid I can't forgive you.
I think so. I think that's fair enough. Brother Matthew.
I'm imagining a feature called Confessions that we've never had before. Sorry I invaded your country.
Yes.
Oops.
Hello.
Didn't mean to. I mean, as it turns out, it was all fine because the locals were happy, weren't they? They were very happy to be invaded by bringing them all their stuff to wear. And having gone into Finland, it's just a pity they weren't able to finish what they started.
Stop.
Finish what they started. So for that reason, because of the puns, I'm going to forgive.
Can I just say that was one of the worst you've ever done?
That was so good, wasn't it? Genius.
Terrible. Absolutely.
Well done, Matt.
Terrible.
Another winner.
I do think that's the first "We nearly caused World War III" confession. I think there are some weeks recently I might not have used that, but I think we got away with it. Just checking here with all the production talent that we have. Holly, do you think I got away with that?
Absolutely, yep. Totally got away with it, I think.
Susie?
Yes. Just
about. Matthew?
I mean, I'm going to say yes to whatever, frankly.
That's
so
true.
I shouldn't be even consulted.
Morals are a sewer rat.
No.
Time to dig out a confession from the crypt now, and this week's request comes from Jeff. Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly, Katie, and all the team. The confession that I'd like to hear would fit very well for this week's podcast. I think we'll be the judge of that. As it happened on a bank holiday and could serve as a warning to everyone heading on an Easter getaway. It involved a group of lads heading out for a boozy weekend with terrible consequences, but maybe not the ones you immediately think of. I had to pull over the car because I was laughing so much. It was from Nigel, but I guess that doesn't help you because it seems to be a Nigel that confesses every week.
That is true. Yeah.
Basically, if there's a school confession, they're all from Nigel.
Yeah.
I think it was around January, February 2022, or maybe 21. I do hope you find it. Thanks so much. Love the show and the confessions, obviously. Thanks, Jeff. Did we find it, Susie?
I did.
We did. And here it is. We called it "You Can Keep the Costa Brava and All That Palaver, I'm Off to Margate."
Something to confess? Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Nigel. Nigel, thank you very much indeed. Lots of Nigels.
Yeah.
Simon and crew, before I confess, I must ask you to keep my name a secret, as the person who's the subject of my misdemeanor still has no clue as to why or what happened to him on that August bank holiday back in 1982. So as I said, I'm going to take you back 40 years to the heady days of August 82. Either Tiger was at number one, Spurs had won the FA Cup. It's that long ago.
Yeah.
My local pub was a hive of activity on the afternoon of the Friday before the bank holiday, with myself and lots of my mates enjoying a well-earned day off before the long weekend shenanigans. I was a 21-year-old with my like-minded group of friends who liked to wind up another group of lads who were also regulars at our local but were about 5 years older than us. This group had an unofficial leader called Frank, not his real name, who was the man who made the decisions as to what match they would go to and where they would cause trouble, and had an unhealthy appetite for Strongbow cider.
Okay.
The picture is painted. Frank was about 6'3", built like a rather sturdy outside public convenience. He was actually a really nice bloke once you got to know him.
Yeah.
This particular Friday before the bank holiday, myself and one of our group came up with a suggestion that we should all go to Margate for the weekend. Everyone seemed to be very enthusiastic, and we all began planning how we would get there and where we would stay. After a long discussion lasting about 10 minutes, it was decided that I would hire a minibus and Mark, also not his real name, would drive, as he didn't drink and he would go for free as the driver. However, a count-up of all the interested parties, which included some of Frank's group, it was decided that we would need two minibuses to accommodate our weekend excursion. Saturday morning, 10 a.m, the crowd started to appear around our pub with sports bags and trays of cheap corner shop lager for the long trip to Margate. Wow. 10:30 arrived with a riotous chorus of Chaz and Dave's Dan and Margate song, We Were On Our Way. Well, the weekend went well, and Margate certainly knew we were there. I think that sentence is working very hard. Yeah. On the Monday, it was time to head home. We started rounding up stragglers, which was pretty difficult as there were two minibuses and no one really knew who was on which minibus. Still, we managed to collect everyone we thought, and we headed off back home. As we were driving along the seafront, shouting out our thank yous and goodbyes to the nice people of Margate, I'm sure you were so popular, I noticed a familiar figure sitting on the curb about 100 yards up the road from us, nursing four cans of Strongbow and looking rather the worse for wear. Well, guys, I always drink responsibly.
Obviously,
of course.
Mark, stop the bus. That's Frank sat in the road up there. They forgot him on the other bus. We better pick him up or we'll be in it when we get back. We all knew what it was like. Not a good idea to get on the wrong side of Frank. So Mark stopped the bus and we piled Frank onto the bus with his cider. He seemed to wake up a little bit once we got going and the football song started. Frank joined in with the merriment and drank his cider and then proceeded to help us drink our lager as well. About halfway home, Frank fell asleep and slept the rest of the way along with most of the rest of the passengers. We arrived back at about 9 p.m. Mark was good enough to drop everyone at their houses, which is a nice thing. When we got to Frank's house, it was in darkness, with his wife and kids clearly tucked up in bed. Frank's wife, Sarah, was of the same disposition as Frank. No one argued with her. She even had been known to give Frank a slap if he misbehaved around her. So we decided that stealth was the best option. Mm-hmm. It took five of us to move the big lump to his front door. I fished around inside Frank's pocket for some keys, but didn't find anything. Gingerly, I rang the doorbell and thought about what I was going to say to Sarah. No answer. We tried waking Frank, but we got nowhere. I rang the doorbell again, nothing. Then Frank suddenly found his second wind and started shouting something incoherently, then went on to his rendition of Ozzy's Dream. Spurs song of the moment.
Yes, yeah.
Me and the four lads with me tried to shush him to no avail, and then I'm afraid it happened. Frank fell over onto the grass in front of his house, ending up lying next to a small wall that separated Frank's front garden from his neighbour's, just as his next-door neighbour came out, shouting, "What's all the noise out here?" "I'm sorry, we're trying to get Sarah to open the door," I said. "It's important, I think she must be in bed." Neighbour says, "Well, you'll have a hard time getting an answer tonight. She's gone to Margate with Frank and the kids for the week. And won't be home till Friday." Well, at this point, my life flashed before my eyes, looking at Frank lying on the grass, fast asleep again, and hidden from the next-door neighbour by the wall between the gardens, I ushered my four accomplices back to the van and ordered Mark to make a hasty retreat. Frank is still with Sarah, and they both still frequent the same pub. Most of the old regulars have moved away, but the day Frank disappeared in Margate and was found in his front garden 120 miles away is the stuff of legend, and many speculative discussions have been made in the pub. Simon, I seek forgiveness not from Frank, as to this day he has no idea how he ended up back at home when he travelled to Margate only the day before for a family week away. Nor do I seek forgiveness from Sarah, as she, if she were to find out that I was the reason that Frank went AWOL in August 82, my fate would be worse than if Frank found out. But I seek forgiveness from Mark, not his real name, and my four friends for making them vow to keep this whole unfortunate event secret from everyone and forever. Okay, well, Nigel, thank you. An unexpected twist in the penultimate paragraph. Sister Susie, what do you make of this story?
Well, Nigel, wow, that's all I can say, really. I hear that you were, you know, only trying to help. You didn't want to leave him there. But what you should have had is, surely you should have known who was going on the trip. You should have had a list of names, who was on bus one and who was on bus two. And then you would have known that Frank was there with his family and not with you guys. And for that, I can't forgive you.
Brother from another gutter.
Who has a list? Who goes on these things with a list? Superb, Susie.
Me.
Come on, mine, yes. I had no idea how that was going to go. Absolutely file that under what are the chances of that happening. And trips to Margate. Loved the trips to Margate until that arty lot all got in. And it's completely changed. But anyway, that's my thoughts on Margate. Definitely forgiving.
You're definitely forgiving. Okay,
yeah.
Because you quite like Margate the way
yeah.
it used to be.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Interesting views there. Surprising. Turning up at the
class
end.
War at the end.
Anyway, it's very, but a very entertaining tale. And if you have a substantial secret, maybe one that you've kept for decades, like that one, let us know. Send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the code phrase is Have a Waz Jerry. Have a Waz Jerry is the code phrase to be sending to Simon Mayo via social media this weekend.
Why is it?
Oh, bus driver Jerry.
Oh, that one.
Yes. Oh, he's a bus driver. Yes, that makes sense.
Is that W-A-Z?
Z. I think, is it double Z? I don't know. Yes, maybe we'll get a check on
Let's
how to spell Waz.
Anyway, thank you very much. So that's this week's secret code phrase. If you could get away with sending me that on Twitter or on Threads or indeed on Blue Sky.
On the Blue Sky. Blue Sky. Loving
Look
the Blue Sky time.
If you listened this far, you can get in touch on Twitter or on Threads or on Blue Sky. Thank you very much indeed. Don't forget to follow, like and subscribe. Tell other people and become annoying. Keep telling everybody that the Confessions podcast is back and see where it gets you. Anyway, until next time, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Good night.
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly...
Hasta la vista, baby.
Very good. From the gutter, Brother Matt...
Farewell. Very classy.
Anyway, that was very good. Thank you very much indeed for listening and we'll see you next week.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Good night! Okay.
Yeah. Wow,
that was singing.
That was good, wasn't it, Matt? Yeah.